Good morning, and welcome to our service for this fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. We've just marked in this past week the note in the church calendar that has the presentation of Jesus in the temple as an infant being marked. And of course, the words that are recorded there indicate that Simeon and Anna both recognized that this baby was indeed the Christ, was indeed the salvation that was gifted to us by God. And in this marking, we note that the time of year that this would have happened was relatively close to the time of year that we mark now. And this being, of course, the probably in the Northern Hemisphere at least, the coldest part of winter. And so our psalm reading for today, which is from the 147th psalm, perhaps it was during this time of year that the psalmist wrote this, because we'll start reading in the 12th verse of the 147th psalm, and we'll read through to the end. The words being as follows. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word, and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow, and the waters flow. He sheweth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. And so let's turn our hearts to God in a word of prayer. Our dear and gracious Heavenly Father, as we again look into your word this morning, we look to you for strength. We look to you for peace. We look to you for the understanding that comes through your Spirit. We ask that you would grant us the eyes to see and the ears to hear what you have for us this morning. And not only this morning, but as we go from here, as the things from our daily lives come into us on a day-by-day basis, we ask that you would show us your presence, that we would be able to see where you are in all of these things. We know that your ways and your judgments are past our finding out, as the psalmist has said. We know that you are indeed in control. And though we look around us these days and we see that there are many things that trouble us, we know and that you have provided, that you have given us of your grace, of your love, of your mercy, and of your understanding to the point where we do not have to fear. We do not have to quake in terror at what the things are that go on around us. We do not even have to be that would be limiting your power. We do not have to have that mindset. We know that as we look into your word, that your love and goodness and mercy that you have given us and indeed do give us even today, that they are sufficient for all of our needs. And we ask that you would help us this morning see those things, that you would show us from your word, from your revelation, that these things are indeed true and real and powerful in our lives. We ask this now, and we ask this that you would hear us as we pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And now we'll turn to your word, turn to God's word, and we'll look into the book of Isaiah, in the familiar words of the 40th chapter of Isaiah, and we'll read a few verses from towards the end of the chapter, starting with the 21st verse, and we'll read through the 31st verse. And the words are as follows in Jesus' name. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom, then, will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For he that is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. We see here that in this writing of Isaiah, that he starts with the words, if we go back to the first of the chapter, the first verse, he starts with these words, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. And then when he goes on in his treatise here in this writing, he also gives us basis for that comfort, basis for the fact that it's that our faith and that our trust in God would be what he would look for from us. But in the meantime, in these writings here, he gives he also explores or causes us to explore some of the things that that we look at, and that some of the things that cause us to doubt, cause us to our faith to diminish or weaken, or fail even maybe in some cases. But what his overall word to us here is one of comfort. When we look at this, when we look at the opening words of the text here in the 21st verse, you can see that he starts here with four questions. And these are questions that we see in one form or the other quite often in Scripture, actually. And they are, to some extent, what we would call the rhetorical questions, or questions that don't really require an answer. One of the things we also notice in these questions is that there's a note of almost exasperation in what God is questioning us about, or what God is looking at us and how we respond to him, and how we respond to the things that go on around us. Because he starts out with these four questions by saying, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? These questions are very direct. These questions are they get right to the heart of the matter, in that he's looking at how we as human beings see him and how we respond to who God is and how he is. And in fact, through this 40th chapter of Isaiah, the writer is expressing God's approach to human beings and what and how he has done in our lives, not today, and how he is working with us today. But we can see that there's a timelessness, of course, in God's word. There is a awareness of the fact that the things that go on in our lives as human beings, these are things that go on through the ages. So these words are relevant to us. And especially, it seems, like we say, in this time when we wonder where God may be in the things that surround us, where God may be in the events that we experience and that are so prevalent in our world these days. But we can see here that God has not only the questions, but he has the answers. He knows what we're going through. He understands what it is that troubles us. And he has made provision for all of those things. But what we see in this 40th chapter is that God has made provision for beyond what is our natural life, beyond what it is that we experience here from day to day. He has made provision for the gift of his Son. In fact, in the the first few verses, he gives the prophecy about John the Baptist coming to what does it say here in the third verse? The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert the highway for our God. That he gives that prophecy that John the Baptist would come and indeed prepare the way for Christ. And we have the record of Scripture that he said that that Christ was to be given as a gift, to be given as salvation for us, and that it was but his mission to make that preparation. So we can see that God, in his plan, in his infinite, eternal, all-knowing plan, has given from the foundation of the world the very things that make us have faith, that cause us to give trust to him. Now, he's acknowledging here that we don't always have that faith, that we don't always have that trust or that confidence in what God is doing. Hence, these four questions. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? And then he goes on to give an answer to those things. He gives us the full dimension by saying in the 22nd verse, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. So when God looks down upon the earth, he's given us that kind of a view. He's saying that he sees that the human beings are as insects on the earth. There are maybe multitudinous insects, but he still sees them in all what they are and how they are have been created. He sees us in that way. He stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. So he's giving us that full view of the universe, a full view of his creation. And I have to think that even though that Isaiah did not know of the full science of what we know and the full extent of what the universe or what's involved in God's creation, that he may have known more than we do, because we're only peering through telescopes and we're only looking at things from a very great distance, as it were. But he may have known more about the full extent of the heavens, because these words ring true. When we look on the heavens and when we look on the things that God has created, we see that his creation is indeed magnificent. It's beyond our understanding. It's beyond where we are able to comprehend in many ways. And then he goes on to say that the powers that are in the earth are in his control as well. that he brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity, as meaningless. So all of those things that that we look at, and like I say, especially these days, we quail or quake at, he's saying, those are in my power. Those are in my control, and I will have them be as I decide. That's his message to us. That's what he's telling through Isaiah. He's saying here, he's not saying that we are insignificant in his plan. We may be insignificant in this earthly frame, in this temporal frame, but we are at the very center of his plan. Why else would he send the gift of salvation in the form of Christ if we were not central to his plan? But in the overall view of the powers and the things that go on in this world, God is in control. Because he says, yea, they shall not be planted, they shall wither. Yea, their stalk, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Those are the kingdoms and princes of the earth. Those are how he considers them as well. And then he goes on to talk to us about our doubt, about our little faith, if you will, about the way that we look at God from time to time, and the fact that we discount what he says. Because he, in the 25th verse, he has another question for us. One more question. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? And then he gives us a bigger perspective again, just by looking at what we have in creation, what has been created and what is around us. He says, lift up your eyes on high, look to the skies, and behold who created these things, that he bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one that faileth. And there are other renditions that give the indication that if we look to the heavens and see how the stars come out at night, see how all of those stars show up, all of those things, those planets, and all of those heavenly bodies that God has created, they all show up, and it says here, gives us the indication that he knows every one of them by name. He has given us that creation, that expansive universe that, like I say, we don't even have, it seems like even can only catch a glimpse of that kind of might. And yet he's saying, those are all things that I've created. Those are all things that I am in control of. We do not have to fear. And then he gives us, Isaiah is recorded, he has more questions for us. There are three more questions here in the 27th and the 28th verse. And as we look at this, we can see that God is addressing the very things that are at the center of our being here. He's not talking about whether or not we believe a certain manifestation of science or a certain manifestation of nature, or we believe that God is that he has done this or that or the other thing. He's looking at the whole picture. And when he's doing that, he's addressing these questions to each one of us. He's addressing these questions to me and to you and saying, how is it that you consider who God is and how he is in your life? He's saying, in a way, you don't have to question the power that he has. You don't have to question what it is that he has given us. And he goes on here, and it gets quite personal in this 27th verse, for sure. He says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? Why do you question and say, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Why is it that you would even ask those kinds of questions? Quite often when we find ourselves in what seems to be darkness or what seems to be a place where there is no light, and it kind of parallels the season of the year that we're in when we have this darkest and coldest time of the year. So it's not unnatural that we would experience these things. In fact, by acknowledging this, Isaiah is acknowledging that God is very much aware of these times. He is very much aware of the times when we would even question his judgment and his view of our life. Because he says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, in this way?" That you're saying, "My way, you don't even know where I am. You don't even respect my right to be here and the kind of things that I decide." Those are things that are common to us as human beings. Those are the things that God is reaching in and saying, "It's okay." He's reaching to our lives, reaching out to us and saying, "It's all right. I'm here. I've got this and I get it. Now you can get it because of my grace and my love to you." That's what God says to us. We see here another little thing we note in this 27th verse is he says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel?" These two terms are again going back to Jacob, the son of Abraham, the father of Isaac. And we know that Jacob's given name, it seems to be, as it has its origins in the fact that, as scripture tells us, that although Esau was the firstborn, when Esau was born, Jacob was holding on to Esau's heel as he was born. And there is some indication that the name Jacob comes from that kind of an origin. And we know also that after Jacob wrestled with God, or this unknown man in the middle of the night, that God changed his name to Israel, the father of many nations. And we also know that in how God describes who and what it is that is his nature and his expression or manifestation to us as human beings, that that it has more significance, that these names have more significance than just naming Jacob or naming the nation of Israel, that we in this present day are included in those in that description. And that's why I say that it gets quite personal here, because we are not excluded from this, we who are believers. We are not excluded from that nation of Israel. In fact, book of Ephesians, in the second chapter, the mention is that in the 12th verse, it says, "At the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." This is speaking to the Gentiles, or those who were not of considered to be, especially at that time, were not considered to be of the nation of Israel. And he says, "You were being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants and promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That's where they were, the Gentiles were. Those who were not of the nation or the lineage of Israel were not considered, or were considered at the time, to not be truly God's people. But he goes on to say, the writer of the Ephesians in the 19th verse, he concludes that particular section by saying, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." So there is no separation, there is no distinction in that sense, is what I believe was what Paul was saying at the time, or writing to the Ephesians. There is no distinction between Jew and Gentile, between we are all one nation, one household of what does it say here, the fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And I find it interesting to note here, so when he says in this 27th verse of the 40th chapter of Isaiah, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel?" He's using those terms to say, you are of the household of God. You are those very chosen ones of God that he has purposed from the beginning to call, and because he has purposed from the beginning to extend his gift of salvation to. In fact, we saw those words in the psalm. He said in the 19th verse of the psalm, 147th psalm, as we read, He sheweth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. That very same phrasing, he includes that Jacob and Israel are as the nation of Israel. We can see that it includes all of those people of God, all of those who are believers, all of those who have faith. So when he says here, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel?" he is acknowledging that he's speaking to everyone. And as we read in Ephesians, we are all one body. We are all one fellow citizens. We are no more strangers and foreigners. We are of the household with God. We have the covenants of promise. We have hope. We have God in this world. All of those things are extended to us. And when we look at what Isaiah has written here, it sounds as if, and indeed it may indeed be, that it's a word of remonstration. It's a word of reproof or almost rebuke to us. But really what we can take it as is that it's a word of confidence, of trust, of hope, and of faith, because God recognizes where we are in our dark times. He knows where we are in the times when we look around us and our faith fails us for all of the things that occur, not just in the world around us, but in our day-to-day lives, the kind of relationships that we question, the kinds of things that come to us from our personal experiences. God, as we know, he recognizes those things. He sees those things intimately. And so he goes on to say here in this 28th verse, he says, "Hast thou not known?" There again, one more question. "Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary?" Have we not known that? Yes, we've known that. We can say we understand that. We've seen that in many cases from the time that we were in Sunday school, from the times even before that. We know of those things of God. And so he's saying here, we can have faith, we can have hope, because it's not in our power, it's not in our strength or in our might or our understanding or our knowledge. None of those things really mean anything. And I just was reading something this past week where it said is that if we say we understand God, then we really don't know him. We really don't aren't able to take in all that he is. As we can see in the writings of Isaiah, he gives us this full scope of God's power, not just in the things that he has created, but in the things that come into our very life. And when we say, my way is hid from the Lord, God doesn't even see where I am, and my judgment is passed over, the things that we have, we say we have claim to or right to, God doesn't even acknowledge those. We know that that's not the case, because he's saying here that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no such thing as tiredness with God. There's no such thing as inattention. There's no such thing as overlooking our situation. He is intimately and specifically concerned with our lives, with your life, with my life. And he knows it just as surely as he knows anything that has to do with the universe. And we see, as he goes on to say, he said, "There is no searching of his understanding. His ways are such that we don't need to try. He giveth power to the faint," he says, "and to them that have no might, he increases strength." This is another thing that often we miss, it seems. I miss it because I'm looking for something that's powerful in this world. I'm looking for something that is powerful in the way that human beings see power. We give honor and glory to those things that are prominent, to those things that have significance, those things that we recognize and laud, that we give awards to and for coming first and for being strongest and fastest and all of those kinds of things. Not that those aren't things that we can and do get involved in, but those really, they come to nothing, especially when we compare them to what God is really after. So it's counterintuitive what he says here, that he gives power to the faint, but not in the way that we might expect it, not in the way that it might be obvious. He gives us power to look past our present circumstance, look past our present situation, and see that his promises are sure. The promises are not for things that affect us here. They're not for the temporal. They are for the eternal. They are for the things that are past this life, which is but a vapor, as we often say, but don't often recognize what that means or how that fully comes to us. They are past all of those things. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. He doesn't give us strength when we feel strong. He gives us strength when we feel faint, when we have come to the point where we throw up our hands because we have exhausted all our resources. And interestingly, as we look through God's word and scripture, that's at the point where we are able to see God for who he is, because we have now said, okay, God, I've exhausted all my resources, and now it's up to you. And we can take comfort from those things again. We can take hope. We can have faith and trust in what God has given us and what he is giving us now, even in these dark times, even in the times when we have seems more reason to question what's going on around us. But especially in those times, that's when he comes to us, and that's when he gives us these words where he says that he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. And then he goes on to draw another comparison here in these final words of our text. He says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. He gives us this picture of natural strength, and he says that this strength, as strong and as mighty as it is, and as much as we acknowledge it and even award it, it shall come to nothing. It comes to nothing when we rely on our own strength and our own ability. And he says, no, that's not how it is. When he has given us this gift of salvation, he has given it to us fully and freely, and that we are in this household of God by what Christ has done and our faith in that. And so when he says here, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And there's another difficult word for us, wait. And we see it so often in Scripture, where we are counseled to not be impetuous, to not rush ahead of what God has in his plan. And it's in this waiting, it says, in these times when it seems darkest, in that time when we are still and can be still and quiet, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That the paths that are in front of us are those that are even and easy. And that's indeed part of what the prophecy of Isaiah was from the beginning of the chapter. He says, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill be made low. Crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. that's the way of the Lord. And that's where that's the picture he's giving us here again of the running and the walking, and the we shall not be weary and we shall not faint. And even the picture of the eagle's wings, we see that they shall mount up with wings as eagles. And when we watch eagles soar, we can see that when they're on the wing, they don't have to expend a lot of effort when they're soaring, because they just put their wings out into the wind and let the wind and let the air currents take them. They move, but it's not like they're flapping their wings all the time when we're watching them soar. And that's kind of the picture that we have, is that if we have the faith and the confidence and the trust in God to just extend our wings and let God lift us on his plan and in his way, that's the way that he's giving us, again, this picture. So again, we go back to the opening words of the text. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That it has more than been covered, the work that Jesus has done, the work of Christ has more than covered any of our failings or shortcomings or lack of strength. And we can see here that this is a very powerful and positive a prophecy that we are given, and not just a prophecy, but a way to live and how it is and how it can come to us as individuals in our day-to-day lives, in our time, right now, right in this moment. And we can see that God indeed does not rest. He is not weary. He has everything in his control. And all of these things that we so often contend with and have problems with in our own lives, in our personal lives, that they are in his knowledge, they are in his control, and they come to us in a way that we can take comfort, we can take hope, and we can take faith in those things, those promises of God. And we don't have to rely on the strength of our doing and our thinking and our being, but that we can truly rely on what God has done for us and what God does for us in this very moment, in this very day. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, as benediction, we'll look into the words of Ephesians again, that third chapter, where he says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen and amen."